Well, we've had some questions. Folks continue to think that the office is closed in Forsyth, so we're encouraging everybody to help us share out the word that the Forsyth office is open. Excuse me. And in fact, we actually expanded some of our hours this past month. So we have our WIC services that are available, and our clinical services are available some evenings. So we are open in Branson every Monday until 6 p.m. And then in Forsyth, we're open every second and fourth Monday in Forsyth. And so if folks are needing services after normal business hours, we are open those days for our WIC and our clinical services. We are also in the process of working through our public health accreditation reaccreditation process. So this is a national, voluntary national accreditation that our health department holds. We are the only rural health department in Missouri that holds that, and it continues to hold our department to best practices, forward-looking, and holds us to a higher standard, which has helped our operations quite a bit. So we are in the midst of that. We had our site visit back in August, and we were waiting to see what the results of that is. But our preliminary reports do indicate some good report back, so we're feeling pretty hopeful about that. So we'll keep you posted. We should find out in November if we receive that reaccreditation status. And, of course, that helps us in terms of being a pilot program for state programs that come our way. It also helps us when we write grant applications to show that we are upholding a higher standard. So it's a great benefit to our department. And, of course, the journey to become accredited has been a huge benefit to our department in terms of making sure that all of our operations are operating at a very high standard. We are also in the midst of our community health assessment, and this is something we do every 3 to 5 years, and we work with our community to identify the top health priorities. So we have identified those health priorities, and then what we do with those is we work on an action plan with our community partners. So we'll be in the process of that here in the next week or two, and so those meetings will be held very near in the future. Those health priorities identified through our community partners and also community surveys that we use as part of this process are substance abuse, misuse, housing, and, of course, I'm drawing a blank on the third. So those are the two of the three, and we can send you information on the other as well. So we'll be working on those here in the near future, and that also guides quite a bit of our programming as we move forward into the next 3 to 5 years. So that tells us where we need to put a lot of our efforts, and it tells us where the community also sees health problems. And so that's what we use in terms of one of our guiding documents. So onto our WIC program. It's our Women, Infant, and Children program. We did receive a breastfeeding-friendly clinic grant, and so that's something that helps fund some of our staffing. We do have a peer breastfeeding counselor that our community utilizes quite a bit when they have new babies. So that helps fund some of those positions. And then also, we just celebrated World Breastfeeding Awareness Week with a walk. We had, I think, about 30 participants last week. So we hold a big celebration. A lot of our clients come to that. They win prizes. There's education. But it's a good time for folks to get together and just celebrate World Breastfeeding Week. I know I've mentioned in my last report about our health disparity grant that we received. So with that grant, we did purchase a mobile vehicle. So we have a van, and we are in the process of getting that set up. So, of course, this grant is related to COVID dollars, and so we will be offering COVID vaccine, and we'll have some antigen tests on board of the van. But we also intend to use this in the long term. So our goal is to be able to take as many of our services mobile as possible. So we're working on the implementation of that, but we're in the process of getting it wrapped and set up and equipment and supplies purchased for that so we can have it out in the community soon. But our intent with that is to have it out in the community and take that where we think that folks may have some trouble getting to us, where we know transportation may be a barrier for some of our clients, but also for increased visibility. We want to be sure that the community knows that we're out there. We discovered through COVID and some of our other works that some of our community didn't know we existed. They didn't know Taney County had a health department. And so we hope to use it in that fashion as well to just increase awareness of the health department and all the services that we offer, but also to reach people that may have transportation barriers or maybe in some of our outlying communities that are quite a distance from us. So we're working on that. We hope to have that on the road pretty soon. And then we are also, with our environmental health team, wrapping up our lodging permit season. So that's, of course, our hotels and our motels and anything that falls in that lodging category. Those permits expire September 30th of every year. So we're down to the last few weeks to make sure we get all of our hotels, motels, lodging throughout the county inspected. And, of course, that's always quite a feat. Taney County has more lodging facilities than any other county in the state. And so I think we've got an inventory.
There's a shortage of them. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm not here to debate that, but we do have about 150 hotel, motel, lodging in Taney County. And, of course, we have about 125 of those fall within Branson alone, and so it's quite a workload. So our team does a great job, and of course we do our very best to be educators first. We want to be sure we get folks the resources and information they need to get those passed so that we can get those permitted and continue on into the next year. And then also with our clinical update, we did give about 100 of the bivalent COVID vaccines last week. And so that bivalent is the new COVID vaccine that has better coverage for Omicron and Delta. And so we saw that we had a pretty big level of interest last week in that vaccine. That was the first time we'd offered that. We just received it. So we have that available in our offices for anybody that wanted a booster. They can just give us a call and get that scheduled. And then, of course, we are approaching flu season, so we also have that available in limited amounts. It kind of comes in throughout the season in a variety of shipments. So we've got some of that available for anybody that is interested in their flu vaccine at this point in time.
On that note, here tomorrow, the employees are offered flu
vaccines. Good. Very good.
On the vaccine, the virus that's going around now, we've got more employees out with it and friends and everything.
Sure.
Is what are they calling it? You named.
So we are still seeing a predominantly the Omicron variants.
Omicron.
That's still what we're seeing in our sewer shed studies at this point in time. It's pretty much 100% that. And so we're also kind of anecdotally hearing that it tends to be a little less severe. So we're not seeing as many hospitalizations with Omicron at this point in time. So that's a good thing. Of course, you know, if we look back over the last couple of years, we tend to see that the you know, October, November, we've seen, like I said, the last 2 years historically a bit of an increase during that time frame. And so, you know, we still have the testing available in our office for anybody that needs, feel like they've been exposed or have symptoms and wants to get tested, they can give us a call. So we still have that available.
Even though that is supposedly less serious and everything, I don't want to, anyone that has it,
sure.
We still have deaths from it here in Taney County.
We do. We've not had any in the last couple of weeks, but we have had deaths with the Omicron, certainly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we continue to monitor it in our office. We aren't seeing quite the demand for testing right now, but also we know that those antigen over-the-counter tests are widely available, and so a lot of people are using those. And, of course, we continue to encourage people, you know, all the things that we know to do. If you're someone that vaccinates, get a vaccination, wash your hands. If you're sick, stay home. And, of course, we're entering flu season, so a lot of that is kind of the same messaging for flu as well. So just being cognizant that, you know, viruses are out there and just take the appropriate precautions.
You mentioned your inspection on the lodging facilities. You're going around doing that now. Do you do that each year or how often?
We do. So lodging facilities do have to become permitted every year. So we work with the State Health Department. In the county, we act as their agent, and so we go around and do those health inspections every year on an annual basis, and they must pass the inspection. Of course, we use the state lodging code for that, and so every year we go around, we do an inspection. If they don't pass, we help let them know what they need to do, give them the guidance, and then we'll come back for reinspections until they do pass.
Is there a certain number of rooms that I have to have if we inspect me? What number is that?
So the number is five. Five rooms
okay.
equals a lodging facility, and then there are a number of other factors that go into that, so I don't want to paint with too broadly of a brush.
Okay.
So anybody that's interested, I would encourage to call the health department or look into that state lodging code because I think things get a little bit gray when you start talking about shared restroom facilities. So
okay.
That would be my encouragement.
Are you serious?
I am. So... but we are first and foremost here as a resource, and so if the community does have questions, we encourage them, give us a call. Our inspectors are happy to do consultations. We do those for free. And we encourage people, if they're looking at plans, to give us a call, and we'll make sure that, you know, we, you know, what is it, measure twice, cut once. We prefer that as well. So
if I'm going to start up a facility, is it my responsibility to notify you to come in for inspection, or how do you find out that I've started this facility?
So it would be the person that is building the facility to give us a call. It was up to them. Of course, with a county of this size, we can't know about everything that's going on. We do our very best, but they need to reach out.
Or someone else report it.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, some of our jurisdictions do have business license requirements, and so anything that falls inside one of those, we typically find out through that process. And, of course, we are more than happy to be involved in plan review process as well. We do that for some of our jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm. On your van, mm-hmm. there may not be some here that's old enough to remember this, but the health department used to go to each school.
She's talking about you, David.
Yeah, David, you may not remember when the health department went to the school, because I don't even know that. And they gave vaccines, and they did their checkups. Are you anticipating maybe being able to do something like that? Because that way the schools mm-hmm. and many people were very much aware of the health department.
Sure, that is definitely a possibility, and we would love to provide that to our schools. Some of our schools we already work with through, uh-huh. through vaccine clinics, and some also have health clinics on site. So we're here to meet whatever need there is, and if there's certainly gaps in those services, we want to be helpful. Okay. Of course, we're not, you know, primary care or anything of that nature, but vaccinations, we're certainly here to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So I can tell folks they can come to the Forsyth office yes. and walk in there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep, we're open, and if they're looking for those Wicker clinical services, we do have the late evening in Forsyth, the second and fourth Monday of the month, and that's until 6 p.m.
Thank you.
I was going to say that before you mentioned how old some people were.
MoDOT monthly update. I don't see anybody here, so we'll move on.
They're still hiding from COVID.
Move on down the agenda. Agreement for auto body repair services, number 22-105, Roden Bridge.
Move to approve the agreement for auto body repair services by and between Jim's Auto Body Incorporated and Canyon County.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Solid Waste District grant application for household hazardous waste.
So we met with you in the roundtable about our HHW, which is progressing. Press has gone through 8 hours of some HAZWOP training. There's some more coming up. But we had the grant application that needed signed by the presiding commissioner, so we put it on the agenda today. We anticipate that grant request to be somewhere between $12,000 and $15,000, and it's basically everything that we need to get that started as far as equipment, your PPE equipment, eyewash machines, shelving, barrels that we might need, just everything. She's got it listed out real well. We're working with Debbie Redford, that's going to write that grant, and it has to be presented by, I think, Friday or Monday. So thus, we are here today.
I move that we approve the solid waste grant application and for hazardous waste, and that a presiding commissioner sign it.
Second.
Did you say second? We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.